Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you remember what book we have been studying? What gospel have we been studying this entire year? Anybody remember? Mark, thank you. Oh, thank you. I got a little scared there for a second. Yeah, actually, we started almost a year ago on the first Sunday in Advent, which is the very first Sunday in our church year, correct? Our folks, our confirmation students actually learned about this. We started in Mark, and we actually began in Mark chapter 13, which is exactly where we are ending up. Today, Mark chapter 13. Last year, how many of you remember this? Listen, I didn't remember it. I had to go back. So, that the sermon series, because it was Advent 1, was Great Expectations. And at that time, the message was, I'll be back. Do we remember that? Yeah. I'll be back, right? Showed a little clip of the promise that was made by Arnold Schwarzenegger as he drove through, right, the police station to get to Sarah Connor, and his promise that he would be back. And that's exactly what we started our season of Advent with last year, was waiting for Jesus to return. Jesus made a promise. Jesus keeps his promises. I'll be back. And that was at the very end of chapter 13, right before we start to move into the passion of Jesus, where he is arrested, the Last Supper happens, all the passion piece. Well, today we are ending with the beginning of that chapter 13. So we really have to think of that chapter 13 in the context of its whole. It's what's called, chapter 13 is what's called apocalyptic literature. It's a particular type of Jewish writing. And if you don't understand it, then it's not going to make any sense to you. So apocalyptic literature tries to make sense out of current events and experiences by casting them into a larger cosmic framework. It's written by and for people who are in the midst of severe oppression. It's highly symbolic. We have a lot of that. We see a lot of that in our movies today, right? This cosmic good versus evil forces that are happening up in the heavens somewhere. We read all sorts of things about it. And remember, we try to make correlations and predictions. How many times have we heard when the end of the world was going to happen? Right? I mean, it's laughable because we look back and it's laughable, but people really get all caught up in this. It's symbolic. But remember, it's apocalyptic. Yes, apocalyptic means end as we understand it today. However, what it really means, apocalypse in the Greek, is revelation, the revealing of something, the unveiling, the unmasking. It's the divine unmasking. It's God being made known. We're going to focus on two things today. We're going to talk about symbols, and we're going to talk about apocalyptic. Symbols. You basically know what symbols are, right? One thing standing for another. One thing representing something else. So what was the big symbol for the people back at the time that this was written? Hard for us to know, isn't it? But for the people that this was written for, the temple was the symbol. The temple, yeah, it was a physical building, and it was massive beyond anything that we could even comprehend, this structure. These buildings, these stones, they were huge. I mean, when they show pictures of people standing next to them, they're beyond anything that you can even understand. This structure was a massive piece of architecture. But it was the central piece of Jewish worship. It's really, when you think about it, the place where the law was carried out, where they have all of the rituals and the laws, the things that you need to do, the sacrifices that you need to make, right? There's all sorts of requirements. And so people would come to the temple to make those sacrifices, one thing on behalf of the other. This was the holy, holy place where God dwelled among God's people. It was the very symbol of who they were, God's chosen people, and God was in that building. Jesus tells them, as they're looking and marveling at this amazing, amazing construction and piece of architecture and their life, that that temple will be destroyed. The symbol of who they are is going to be gone. The symbol of God being present in this place will be gone. It will be destroyed in a heap in front of them. And it will remain a very visible piece of destruction. And for them, their very world is about to end. So what do you do, think about it in modern day terms today, when the symbol that defines your life is destroyed? Whatever that symbol might be or might have been, there was a point in my life where my job was the symbol of my life, who I was and what I was doing. I'm not saying it's right, but it was. And then I had a job loss. What do you do when that happens? Or money is the symbol of who you are, or your house is the symbol, or your car, or I could go on and on and on. What is it that we do when this happens or is going to happen? We try to figure out when, don't we? We try to figure out when is this going to happen so I can get ready, so I can be prepared. You know, we want to get our ducks in a row, don't we? Right? We want to make sure everything's going to be okay. We start doing the things that we should have been doing all along. But we also said that this was apocalyptic. It's revealing, it's unmasking, it's unveiling. So what is Jesus telling us on this very day? What is being revealed to us on this day? Well, what's being revealed is that we need to stop focusing on the when and start focusing on the what. You know, we're not told when this is going to happen. And as a matter of fact, at the very end of chapter 13, Jesus says, I don't even know when it's all going, when I'm going to come again. Only God knows that. Instead, Jesus tells us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to watch out, look out, and be alert. We're given a calling. Our calling is to watch and to look. What are we called not to do? We're not called to be on the lookout so we can clean up our act. We're called to be on the lookout so that we can act now. We're not called to live always anticipating the end times and Jesus' return. Instead, we're called to live always anticipating the activity of God right now, today, here. It's not the when that we're supposed to be focusing on. It's the what. What is being revealed to us is the way that we're supposed to be living today. And how are we supposed to be living? In joy, in confidence, in hearing that promise, I'll be back. Yet we live the exact opposite. We live in fear and anxiety. I've never seen us so, well, in the generation that I've lived, okay? So fearful and so anxious. As a matter of fact, every single day, this world tells us we're supposed to be fearful and we're supposed to be anxious. And the ones that we're supposed to be fearful and anxious of are our neighbor, the other, the stranger. And Jesus tells us, no. We're supposed to be loving and serving our neighbor. God has already revealed God's grace, God's mercy, and God's goodness to us and the world. Death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus means life forever. And that is pure joy. I mean, knowing, really knowing God's love for us in Christ can do nothing else but produce joy. We're called to share that joy, and we're called to love each other. There are so many people that are going to tell us we're not good enough, we should be afraid, we need to change who we are. When Carl and I were on the ship, we went walking past, somebody wanted to do my posture, and he said to me, "Do you suffer from back pain?" "Nope." "Come on, hip pain?" "Nope." "Do you have sciatica?" "Nope." He's like, "What? And I said, "No, I'm very happy, thank you very much." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry for you." So I don't think he meant to say, "I'm sorry for you," but I think he didn't know what else to say because he's trying to sell me something. We go through the spa. I want to see what the services are that they have. They're just like, I'm a looker. I'm a looker. Definitely like to look at everything. And so the doctor there does all the things. He said, "Well," he goes, "you're not happy with the way your face looks, right? You want to take away some of those lines?" I said, "I'm very happy." And he said, "Well, no, you want to take some of those lines away?" I said, "I'm very happy. This is my life on my face. This is who I am." He said, Oh, like did not know how to react to that because he's wanting to sell me things that are going to make my life. I said, "I am very happy with who I am." Now, whether or not I believe it is a different story. Every day I work on that, right? Because there's so many things out there telling us we're to not be happy with who we are. We're to want more. We're to be fearful of the person sitting next to us or the person who's trying to come into our country, right? We're told all of these things over and over and over again. We hear God's call. "I love you exactly the way you are, and I will be back. That's my promise that I'm giving to you." You see, we focus on the when instead of focusing on the what. God's call, it's God's call as to when Jesus will come again. What is our call? Our call is to live life in confidence, in knowing God will come again. And we live in confidence by trusting the promise that God who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us. Our call is to live today trusting that promise, allowing the promise, the "I will be back," to infuse every moment of our life today. This is what's being revealed to us today. It's the unveiling now, or what I'm going to call the apocalypse now, the revealing now. This congregation is wonderful at seeing the presence and the activity of God today. When I go and visit someone who is ill, I am thrilled to know, believe it or not, thrilled to know that I was not the first person to visit that person. That someone from this congregation had already been there. When I come to bring a meal to someone, I am thrilled to know that the refrigerator is stuffed with 7 days worth of meals because members of this congregation had prepared those meals ahead of time for that person. You're not afraid to enter into the pain of another. You don't shy away from it. You don't say, "Oh, please don't share that with me. You're taking away my joy." No, you enter into the pain because you know who God is. And it's hard, and we know it's hard. You listen deeply. You pray for and with the person. You don't try to fix them. And boy, oh boy, how many of us are fixers and we try so hard to fix everything. You know and you trust that God is present, that the Holy Spirit is already there. You share your time, your talent, and your possessions. I see you out there in the community. I'm not just talking about the bridge and the things that we participate in, but I know what you're doing out there every single day. I know some of you are acting as guardian ad litem and speaking for those most vulnerable are children who have no voice. You are the voice for them. You are the adult who is caring and watching out for what their needs are. I know those of you who are on Thanksgiving will be running around delivering cooked meals to families. I know those of you who serve in soup kitchens. Love is what you're sharing. Out there cleaning up the community. When someone else says, really? That's what we pay for. Why are you out there doing it? Because this is our community. And this is what we are called to do. You step up when help is needed. Our musicians. A call goes out. Those who are frightened to step forward, do step forward. Technology. We have those who are like, I know nothing about technology, and are willing to step forward and learn about technology. We have natural organizers in here, greeters, bakers, drivers. I have heard so many stories of someone driving someone else to a doctor's appointment. Or how about one of our members who discovers she has cancer, and another member drives her across the state to ensure that she sees the right doctors at Moffitt. That's who you are. You have no idea how excited I am to be a part of God's people in this place. Out of pure love, out of thankfulness, out of trust, out of faithfulness, you give not only your time and your talent, you give of your possessions. You share your money so that through this congregation, others in this community, in this congregation, throughout the state, and throughout the world may be comforted, fed, given shelter, clothed, given medical supplies, tangible signs of God's presence and of hope. What is being revealed here for us today? Perhaps it is that we need to know that God shows up in all kinds of places, and our responsibility, and my gosh, you're doing a great job of it. We have more to do, more to see. Our responsibility is to look for it and to participate. That's our calling. Where is God active? What spaces and what places? And that's why we say, everywhere we go, everyone we meet, everything we do, we are Christ's hands and feet. That is our calling. We don't have to worry about the when you're busy getting about doing the what. Our calling is revealing Christ's presence today. Revealing, revelation happening now. Or you could say, apocalypse now. Amen.